Yaron Walter Jackson Jr., born September 15, 1999, is an American professional basketball player for the Memphis Grizzlies of the National Basketball Association.
Morant going right at Conley. Jaren, a three for the lead. It's in with 5.7. Jaren Jackson Jr. triples the Grizzlies into the lead.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Hoops and Cards. Today, we get the thrill of having some local card shop leaders, really, in our community. You guys, thank you for starting Shag Sports Cards here in Northeast Ohio, and maybe you've heard me mention them on the show, but today, I mean, I just love learning from other collectors, other investors, and your journeys, and why you buy the things you buy, or how you got into this. So I just want to, like, start off by saying, guys, thanks for letting us invade your let us invade their storage space, guys, Hoops and Cards. And this is where a lot of the magic happens for them to do breaks or now to do their own physical store here in North Canton. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Gary.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Maybe if you guys want to introduce, we got Dave with us. We got Mike. They want to tell a little bit about maybe how you got into cards in the first place. Because, I mean, this has become a big business for you.
So I'll start. I'm Mike, formerly, or nickname is called Spags. This is Hoos. He'll introduce himself.
Hoos.
But yeah, so I'm the S in Shag. It stands for Spags. It's a nickname that I was given in high school.
I really wanted to ask what Shag.
Yeah. So
if it was an Austin Powers thing, or if there was a
Spags.
It was talked about. Yeah. Austin Powers was okay. Talked about.
Right. Spags, Hoos, Anth, and Garsh. So there's four of us. Started back in November of 2020. We sort of got our old collections out, and really one thing led to another. Hoos was a big advocate of really just having let's legitimize this. Let's make this a business. And so we were like, okay, let's make it a business. We formed our LLC that day. And then here we are, you know, some 2.5 years later with having a physical storefront. And yeah.
Nice.
So I'm Hoos. I'm the H in Spags. Otherwise, people don't know me as David, but I'm David. and it was wild. You know, 2020, the whole craze started that, you know, everything was worth 10 times what it should have been. And everybody was buying cars. People were waiting outside of Targets. So we kind of jumped into that a little bit. So we were waiting outside Targets too. We were buying stuff there. And we just decided let's start doing breaks. Started out in Anthony's basement doing breaks in his basement. Did that for a while until we finally got this, you know, this store and this storefront, which part of the reason was just to have somewhere to do breaks that isn't his basement.
Right.
But now we're, you know, fully legitimate with the storefront, and it's been a fun ride.
Does that mean that at some point we should do a live YouTube stream from Anthony's basement? Just like tell the origin story with like smells and all. Like
you got to bring like a parka because he keeps it like 50 degrees down there.
Okay. Nice. Well, so now we know why Shag, where that name came from. And you guys have all known each other since forever?
Pretty much forever. I mean, three of us went to high school together and, you know, we met Garsh soon after
college.
Okay.
So
I'm curious, like you mentioned the 2020 being a year when a lot of things happened in the sports card industry, but also for you getting together and doing breaks, like what brought you back into collecting and investing cards at this point in your lives? Because now there's like higher stakes involved, right? Higher price cards or, you know, starting a business is a big deal.
I think what got me into it was I had a Michael Jordan rare insert 1997 Fleer Total O, and I sent it off to get grading. I had no idea what grading was. Do you have any?
No, when I was a kid, never.
Yeah. I had no idea about grading, and so sent it off to SGC to get graded. It came back in SGC 10, which is, you know, a perfect
yes sir
a perfect rating, and I sold it, you know, a couple months later for $900. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. That's a lot of money. And so that's really hooked me. And then, you know, again, I'll give credit to Hoos, to where he was like, we got to somehow make it a business. And we didn't really know what we were doing, but then, you know, we got in contact with the distributor, and again, the rest is history.
Yeah. I think we did kind of get lucky with timing too, because I think they stopped accepting new customers, you know, a couple of months after we got in there. So,
yeah,
you know, it was just timing, luck, and just, you know, just wanting to do something different. For me, getting back into it was, to be honest, just FOMO.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing from Donnelly and Garcia, they're getting into breaks. Spags is, you know, sending off cards to get graded. And a couple of our other buddies were going to buy boxes now. And I'm right. Like, well, I did love this as a kid. I mean, if, you know, you can pull a really
now there's big boy money in it. Like, there could be, yeah, huge opportunities.
I think that's something that was never, like, when I was a kid, that there wasn't, like, that day, like, big money in cards.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you know, you'll keep these for 20, 25 years. It was never like, oh, you can go get this hit card and sell it for thousands of dollars. That's what's changed to today. That's made
and it. And a flip meant like wild. Getting a $2 profit on a card at the flea market or something.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, one of the best things about sports cards today and like always has been the friends that we make and the connections that we have in the hobby. Some of those are like, you guys have known each other a long time. I just met you, I think, sometime in the last 6 to 8 months. You know, we became familiar at card shows and things. But you took the plunge and went into business together. I know there's a lot of our listeners. Some of you guys have started a business on your own with this, or several of you guys started a podcast, or you've thought about it at some point. I want to open a shop. What advice would you give? This wasn't on our script. What advice would you give? Or maybe even what worked for you, what didn't work for you, because you're in that first year, right? And it sounds great, 4 or 5 buddies getting together and let's do this, let's make some money. But it's not that easy, even if you got in at the right time. It is not just a simple formula that you follow.
I'd say the biggest thing for us from the start was just like making sure to treat the customers right. Mm. And that's kind of, you know, how we've built a group of, you know, people breaking with us consistently, because they know if either we screw up or USPS screws up or anything happens to a card that we pull for them, like, we'll pay them out for that card, or we'll buy them a new one on eBay. We've done those things for customers, even when, you know, we were just starting up and didn't really, you know, have any money as a company. It was like, well, look, we screwed up or they should have got this card. And you just make sure you do that. And just always, you know, make sure to, you know, go above and beyond for the customer, you know, and just be genuine. That's kind of what I would
say. That's right. And you can tell sometimes at a card show where there's like 50 or 60 sellers or dealers, some people are in it for the money and some are in it for the people. I mean, just being real, some people will, like at one of the shows, Brandon that was next to you last time, I've heard him give encouraging advice to young entrepreneurs that are trying to make a good deal, and he can't give them the dream deal they want.
Sure.
But he's also helping educate. Like, you have to think about your customer. You have to think about
the
people.
Yeah, and I think going along with that too is, I mean, when kids walk through our store with their, you know, with their parents and at card shows, it's, you know, educating them to say, you know, okay, what is this worth? What are you trying to get to it? And so there is, without kids in the hobby, the hobby's dead.
Yeah.
And so we have to continue to educate them and continue to, you know, say, hey, well, where did you get this card and how much did you buy it for? And so there's a lot of skills that are being, you know, learned throughout that negotiation process that I think kids these days, like, we just went to card stores, we bought packs of cards, and then that was it. Like, there wasn't any like negotiation. Like, I didn't take my collection and say, hey, you know, Gary, what do you want to pay for my collection? So
it's wild seeing like 12-year-olds at the card show wheeling and dealing and just like with hundreds or thousands of dollar cards. And it's like, you know, they're running a business at 12, basically.
They got their big Zion case full of PSA 10s. I mean, they're crazy entrepreneurs. Well, you guys, there's still a kid in all of us as we do this. Like, what cards are you into now? Like, what cards do you love, or what cards are you chasing?
So it's weird because growing up, I think I only ever had mostly baseball cards. So it was probably 80% of my collection when I went and looked back was baseball cards. And now I'm like all football. I don't know. I think it's just because I watch football. I feel like I know football the best, so I can, you know, kind of pick out the guys that I think are going to be good and, you know, make moves. But I think it's just buying who you like first off. Everybody has their, you know, their PC. So, you know, I buy a bunch of Baker Mayfield and I get ripped on by all these guys for it. But
did you buy the winning square for the Super Bowl? The squares you guys did? No. Oh, okay.
No, we didn't have anyone.
It was a good idea, but okay. How about you, Mike? What are you into collecting wise or chasing?
So I was like the opposite. I mean, I played basketball and baseball and football growing up, but I was mainly basketball collecting. Still probably am to this day, just because, again, I think it's probably the sport that I enjoy the most. Definitely PC LeBron. He's a local talent, and so I PC Jordan growing up as well, just because I think everybody did. But
that's why he had stuff worth money. Yeah. And I had steroid era garb that my whole collection was maybe worth $25, and he was sitting over here on gold mines.
And I think there's an element to collecting, and then there's an element to selling. And so you know, you collect the cards you want to collect, but then, you know, okay, if I have a Baker Mayfield, you know, for me, that card doesn't mean a whole lot, but for Hoos, there's a different element to value.
Yeah. Why I think trades are maybe like the most fun part.
For you sure. Know,
like you go to the shows and it's just like, oh, I want this card, but do you want this card? It's like, right. This is an easy swap. And it's usually pretty close to even, but you know, even if it's not, as long as both guys walk away happy, you know, that's
right.
It's always fun.
Trading is definitely a big element in the sport or in the hobby that I think gets lost. But I mean, Robbie comes in here all the time. And I mean, we very rarely ever exchange cash. It's just like, hey, you have these cards. Like, that's hey, true. We have these cards. And it's literally just, and we're talking multiple cards.
Mike, I'm so glad you're saying that, because I brought a bunch of cards today to trade. But I don't know if I have any. Right. Yeah, get the max while they're hot. Oh, man. Well, you guys are into a variety of sports here at the show, at the shop. You have basketball, football, baseball. I saw a lot of soccer that somebody's hockey, into here. Hockey, what else?
Star Trek.
F1. Let's see, what else do we have? I think that's about it.
Okay, and do you buy into the, hey, when a sport or another event is in season, that's when those cards are in most demand? Or are you seeing it just being more market driven?
I think with football, that was definitely the case. I mean, we'll see with basketball. It kind of was with like the playoffs, because, you know, regular season's a grind for all these sports. So like, especially basketball and baseball, you know, 162 games, 82 games, like you're not buying every day, every week for that sport,
right? Yeah.
And you know, it starts to really get ramped up, and you know, the adrenaline rushes for people in the playoffs. So football was like that.
And I think too, I mean, football definitely, you know, you had Mahomes and Hurts that were, you know, were going, LeBron when he broke the record, and so you got to sort of capitalize on that. But I think to Hoos's point is, come April time, like, we'll see an influx in baseball cards because people are hyped up about its opening day. And so there'll be a small window there, but again, it's a you know, long grind season. So throughout the baseball season, probably not. But I think March, April, even maybe, you know, May a little bit, you'll see an influx of baseball cards being, you know.
I think football and basketball have almost become like year round sports at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when the season ends, it's like, okay, well, now it's what coaches are going to get hired, and oh, what free agents are they going
to
get? And
who is Kyrie demanding a trade to now? Yeah.
Yeah. And trades and all that stuff swings.
Injury recoveries or not. Yeah. All right, so my question is, and I'm asking for a friend, like, we are a basketball mainly community. We have a Discord where people get on and interact and share trade ideas or players they like. Some of the guys are into, or girls are into, buying other sport cards, you know, but mainly basketball. And yet there's a lot of us who we've spent a good chunk of money the last 3 or 4 months leading up to this NBA season buying basketball because it was kind of out of season.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the playoff charge, like you said, there's a chance that teams that are heading towards the playoffs, like the Jason Tatums, the Giannis, the Luka, a lot of those cards probably going to go up again, especially if they have another big night, 50, 60 points, or you see little jumps like Cam Thomas or Mac McClung. I'm looking at what other sports, specifically like baseball, football, soccer, what other goats or cards do you think people that are looking to make some money on those off seasons would be a good buy or a good trade into? I'll give you, for instance, like I'm not super into baseball, but I realize Ohtani is a generational talent.
Yes, absolutely.
And I did a little bit of research on Market Movers, and I said, right now the prices on just an Ohtani PSA 10 tops, just the tops paper rookie, is about half the price that it was 3 months ago.
Wow.
For no reason at all. It's just that it's not baseball season. So I'm like, if I can buy one or two of those and flip them in 3 months, and maybe I think I could double my money based on those little graphs that you see on Market Move. But like, what other players, baseball or football, do you see that people that are into basketball might be like an off-season investment opportunity?
So off-season?
Yeah.
Even though he won the Super Bowl, the further you get it, like you saw what happens with Joe Burrow's cards.
Right.
The week up to the Super Bowl and the week before the Chiefs game, they were flying up. And yeah, he lost the Super Bowl, but still, his cards fell off a cliff as soon as the season was over. Even winning the Super Bowl, I still feel like that happens. So I think Mahomes' cards might go down a little bit once the rush of winning the Super Bowl is over.
Like in April-ish?
Mahomes is the next Brady, in my opinion. Like, he's going to win 4 or 5 Super Bowls. I mean, he's not going to win, 7?
Right, like, right. But if there is anybody close, Mahomes is looking good.
and still Burrow. I feel like those are the two guys. Like, I don't necessarily buy into Herbert, and Josh Allen hasn't gotten over the hump of beating those guys yet. So I think you stick with Mahomes and Burrow.
But not Mayfield? I'm just teasing you. I said we could rip on each other, so I'm fair game.
I've made some good money buying and selling Bakers, and then obviously I have a bunch that I hold on to.
Right?
But hey, you know what? I hope he stays in LA with the Rams.
Yeah.
Because he had a good thing going, and I don't want him to go to another crappy
franchise. Dude, I have a Baker jersey at home, and I love him. I wish the Browns had treated him better. I feel like we did him wrong.
Who's your dude? So I can rip on him.
my football dude. Oh, my Maxi is one of my basketball dudes. Okay. Yeah. I was curious about Trevor Lawrence. Like, he kind of proved that he belongs and can contend.
So if you notice a theme, what he said, what you said, what do they all have in common?
Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So quarterbacks drive the football hobby.
Yeah.
You could be the best, and he is, best wide receiver, Justin Jefferson. He's not going to come close to any quarterback value. So you have to realize that if you're looking to do a quick, like a flip, focus on the quarterbacks. Like, you know, he was big on it, and I thought he was going to say it, but like Jordan Love, now with the rumors of Aaron Rodgers leaving and retiring. So Kyle Trask, you know, this next up and coming, to where you can almost predict that, like, that quarterback, there's going to be a small hype. Sam Ellinger had it with the Colts earlier. There's going to be a small window to where that quarterback, if he's winning, Brock Purdy,
I was trying to remember his name for the last 2 minutes.
It saved us as a hobby, because people were chasing him in that product, in the certain product. And so he was a quarterback, and he was doing well, and he wins. So when you're equating to trying to find value in football specifically, focus on the quarterbacks. Baseball, you're looking at those prospects. I mean, you're trying to find – it's sort of like a long shot, but Julio Rodriguez, he was a nobody in 2019. Now all of a sudden his stuff is through the roof.
Yeah.
And so it's harder to predict. Basketball, there's, you know, certain players. I mean, it's tough because it's injury prone, but quarterbacks for sure runs the hobby.
Yeah. I think you mentioned like the backup quarterbacks or like the guys that haven't come on yet. Donley was really on this, like, 2020, he bought up a bunch of Mitch Trubisky's, and I was making fun of him. I was like, Mitch Trubisky's trash.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't need him to be good.
Yeah.
I just need him to start.
Yeah. That's right.
And then the Steelers signed him to start, and his cards flew up before he ever started a game, and Donnelly sold them all.
Who's the guy that started a bunch for the Cowboys when Dak was out?
Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback. So I've been sitting on some Gardner Minshew for a while.
Okay.
He came in and didn't look as good as I thought he would. But I still think he'll eventually get another chance to start. And that's all it is. Leading up to the week that they're going to start, their cards go up.
Yeah.
No matter what. And if they play well, they go up even more.
I think reverting back to, again, sticking on the basketball trend is, you know, we saw it with Mac McClung. We saw it with Tatum. We saw it with Damian Lillard. So, like, there's just an all-star. And so they won, you know, dunk contest, three-point contest. So, you know, capitalize on that. You know,
you saw
people, Mac, people are going crazy for Mac McClung. He's played two games in the NBA ever.
Right.
It's just crazy to think about.
And I think it, no matter what level the person is, like, it could be, you know, a guy, oh, you think this guy, you know, maybe he could be a microwave scorer off the bench. But if he's not being valued at all, buy him up.
Yeah.
Because they could have a Cam Thomas moment where everybody's hurt and they go for 40 plus a game for three games. If you think they have that ability and they're underrated, jump in on it.
Yep.
That we love talking about that at Hoops and Cards in our community of guys that are Cam Thomas. That's how we found Maxey. I mean, he was a backup to James Harden, and even before that, not starting. And then he got some opportunities last year.
Yeah.
But Cam Thomas is another one. The league is full of guys who can score. It's just a matter of who's going to get that opportunity.
Yeah. And scoring, I mean, it's like quarterbacks with football. Scoring leads everything in basketball.
Yeah.
In the offseason, I was buying up Keldon Johnson because okay, they just traded DeJounte Murray. Somebody has to score the basketball. So he's going to average 25 a game this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just trying to find those guys that are going to get the opportunities and that can score if given the opportunity.
Right, right.
And I think it's unique, too, because it is the scoring. It's the flashy. Everybody, all these kids like Ja Morant because he's flashy. You know, he's
for sure.
He's got that aroma, that stigma to it. But, you know, you look at Nikola Jokic. I mean, back-to-back MVPs, his stuff is not worth much in the hobby.
Because people think he's boring, even though he's awesome.
He's averages just triple double, but his stuff is.
I think he's awesome. It's flash too. Well, you guys, we're going to talk in another episode about breaks and that whole craze in the hobby and how you got into that. But I would love to, because you're aware of what new products are coming out, especially basketball stuff. What's maybe your favorite basketball product to rip lately? Something that you just or that you've seen people just gravitate towards.
So people always, you know, crack on the college products.
Yeah.
But we're doing it today, and we did it on Saturday. We pulled that manga out of Prism Draft Picks. There's four autographs in it. It's a fun rip
for
$175. That's lower end. Getting up towards, you know, higher end in basketball, I think you're probably looking at, like, Prism and Optic and stuff like that.
Obsidian.
I think Optic's a good product in basketball. Prism's, you know, the most
popular,
most popular, probably up there in expense. But I think Optic's, you know, holds good value, and it's a fun rip.
And Donruss comes out in a couple weeks, unless they delay it again. Isn't it like March 8th now? Or
yeah, it should be coming out soon.
I love their hobby box because of all those inserts, Net Marvels.
Yeah.
I mean, they're.
I think they're doing the thing again where Donruss Elite's coming out before Donruss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the difference of paper versus chrome. So the paper products like Hoops, Donruss, you know, there's just they don't fetch for as much value. So recommendation is this: hey, if you want to rip open a box, rip it release day, and then sell, because you're slowly going to see the value come down.
What is it about ripping a box that just feels, and the smell? They must put something in the packs that's like addicting. They got put crack in the packs or something. Right?
Anything could be in there.
I know. I mean, I haven't pulled fire. Like, I don't have a manga story. I got a Zion rookie Optic from 2 years ago in a blaster box and a Justin Herbert pink camo that like graded 10 as PSA. That was like one of my, but very rarely have I made back half of what I spent on open box.
You would say you mainly rip retail though. Right?
True. Yes.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the
difference. Hear that, people? Hobby is different. Hobby is different. Why? Because of autographs?
The numbered cards. I mean, I was talking to a guy about it today. He came in with a bunch of retail and wanted to sell to us. And he was just like kind of wondering why stuff wasn't worth what he thought it was worth. And it's like, there's a million of this card right here.
Yeah.
You know, this base card. That's where numbered, you know exactly how many of that card there is. And people pay for that. not knowing how many of a card there is when it's non-numbered, unless, you know, it's short print and they can go online and say, oh, this is like kind of out of 20, like the downtowns and stuff. You know, people want to see numbered cards. People want to see autographs. People want to see really cool patches.
Yeah.
There's less of that in basketball, though, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, you think buyers have gotten more selective in the last year because of the market going down, and we've kind of felt it, mm-hmm. all of us in different ways.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if I'm going to buy a card, it better stand out in some mm-hmm. way. Like, it better look gem to me and to a couple other people before I pay for it up front. It better have something other than, hey, it's just this guy's rookie. It's a Tatum rookie. Well, okay. Is it, what else can you put in that eBay listing that someone might be sure. drawn to? A Jason Tatum auto, a Jason Tatum, you know, red cracked ice, something else about it besides just Tatum.
Sure.
And Tatum's great. I'm not saying, you know, the card that stands out.
It's a different era of collecting where that, you know, base stuff, I don't know how much it'll ever be worth. But go ahead.
It was just weird because when we grew up in the 90s, the base cards weren't the things that you collected. It was the inserts. And Donnelly will always, like, Donnelly says this too, but like the inserts were like, okay, there's, you know, a subset of 10 cards in this insert set. Like, you were talking about Net Marvels and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, the 90s insert cards, they're not worth anything. And it's like the Kobe Bryant Tops, when there was a million produced, that Kobe Bryant Tops rookie card was like the valued card now. It's weird how things have changed, because you would think that the short prints, the numbered cards, those are going to drive because there's a finite number of them.
Right.
But
right.
I think that the base cards back in the 90s, it's different looked at now. Like the base cards now, like a Zion base rookie card, Prism rookie card probably goes for $3, $5. Yeah. So it's just a different era of collecting, like you said.
Yeah, that's true. I remember collecting the inserts that was the shutting down MJ card or defending MJ. I forget what it was called. And it was all these different defenders trying to guard MJ. Assignment Jordan, that's what it was called. And I remember trying to collect different sets of the inserts like you, and didn't think anything of the base cards.
The Jordan Fanimation cards, cartoon things. Mm-hmm. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us on Hoops and Cards. Any last words of advice to basketball card collectors and investors? You guys meet us at shows, people walk in off the street, like basketball fans that want to, we want to enjoy the hobby, B, we don't want to lose money if we can help it. Like, what, maybe it's a player, or maybe it's just a word of advice to leave with our audience today.
I don't know.
He always looks like he's thinking something deep. He's been chewing on this for a while.
It seems,
maybe it's the beard.
But nothing is coming. You know, we're trying to, but nothing's there. I don't know if I have a player right now in basketball on like the top of my tongue or the tip of my tongue that I think, you know, is going to bust out.
Yeah.
I'd say just, you know, collect what you like. You know, collect the player you like, the players that you like. And again, like I said earlier, like, you know, even if the guy is like a lower level bench guy, if you think he's undervalued, wait for that moment. You know, buy him up. Like, if you think he's undervalued, and almost all these guys are going to have some sort of moment in time where, you know, their cards are going to jump up.
And yeah. Well, and I get that question a lot about a player that somebody likes. They'll send me a, hey, Gary, what do you think of Ayo Dosunmu? Mm-hmm. Or what do you think of Anthony Edwards? And sometimes it just boils down to what you said. Do you like the player? Like, will you enjoy having that card? If so, then great. I can't promise you're going to make money on that card. There are strategies to think that through. But if you do want to make money, then it would help if whatever cards you've bought, you make them available to sell if that guy pops.
Sure.
Like, if that guy Dosunmu comes off the bench and scores 35 tomorrow night, somebody's going to buy his cards. Mm-hmm.
So I do have a player.
Okay.
Just thought of it. Ayo made me think of it. So you can mull over your thoughts a little more.
Mike's getting ready over there.
So it's probably, 4 years removed from him being a rookie now, and he's still stuck on the bench, but Obi Toppin.
Okay.
He plays, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes a game, and he can score. He'll score his 6 to 8 a game, and the only reason he's stuck on the bench is because he can only play the 4, and Julius Randle can only play the 4.
Right. That's right.
Stuck on the same team. I think it's...
I'm surprised they still have him. I thought they traded him.
They should have traded him. As soon as he gets out from under Julius Randle, he's going to have a moment.
If we find out that they really did offer Toppin and Quickly and maybe a few picks for Donovan Mitchell and somehow that didn't work out or the Knicks weren't willing to throw him in.
Yeah.
I'm just glad Cleveland got him.
Yeah.
But you're right. Obi Toppin's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll go off the Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you know, we're in Northeast Ohio, and so everybody is Cavs bias. And so we understand that as a shop to say, okay, well, who are people going to come in? Who are the kids watching? They're watching Donovan Mitchell. They're watching Darius Garland. So we bought multiple Darius Garland lots because we know that it sells. So I would say if you're, you know, in Charlotte, then you buy the Bobcats. So like you want to buy people that, okay, there has a local footprint in the market. My guy, and I'll say this, he was, you know, he's still big and back in 2018, but it's Luka. And so Luka, his stuff is obviously sky, you know, high right now, but with the addition of Kyrie, they're immediately probably a championship contender team.
Yep.
And so that's his, and you'll see, you know, with having Kyrie, the addition of Kyrie, he's no longer going to have to be like the go-to guy. He has another guy to where he, come crunch time, he's going to be able to say, hey, Kyrie, I'm not the man anymore. I mean, he still is,
right,
but
right.
He has somebody else to sort of offload. So I think you'll see an influx. If Luka wins a title, his stuff's going to really skyrocket.
It'll have a Joe Burrow effect.
I mean, yeah.
100%.
And as you're talking, even if he doesn't, like even if Luka doesn't win the title this year, the fact that people are talking about him like that, and the next 3 months of buildup and the performances that he and Kyrie are going to have together when they decide who can take the last shot, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a bump in his market. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense because they have that potential. And he's how old? Like 24, 25?
Yeah, in 2018.
So. Jeez.
And he came in at like
18,
19,
yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, guys, how can we find Shag on the internet, like on Instagram? How can we connect with you guys if our listeners want to find out more about your breaks or about your shop too?
Sure. We got a website, shagsportscards.com. You can go on there. You can see, you know, where we're at, where our shop's at, some pictures of our shop. You can check out our breaks. We always have stuff up. We break on Wednesdays and Saturdays on YouTube. We're on at 8 o'clock.
Instagram is shag-sportscards. Twitter is shagsportscards. Facebook, we're on Shag Sports Cards. We have a Discord channel, free Discord that we've got probably like 100-150 members. So we just, you know, shoot the crap and do
nice
talk cards and stuff. So yeah.
And if you're in Northeast Ohio, get down to North Canton, right? Find you guys here.
Yeah, 1300 South Main Street, North Canton, Ohio.
Get here before 6, right? Don't call 5 minutes before 6 and say you're coming.
That's
right. Yeah, I get my own free shopping spree here to trade in a minute. But guys, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you.
In short ball, Sexton puts it up, puts it in.
2-3 to take the lead. Shea checks, steps back, 3-point shot on the way. Is good with 1.1 seconds left.
All right, take care now. Bye bye then.